You're listening to Dotto Tech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
It is a year in review here on Dotto Tech. I have Jillian Shaw from the Vancouver Sun, Lindsay Smith from lindsaysmith.com. I am, of course, Steve Dotto. We've just been looking at a list, a pretty good list, I think, from the Mother Nature Network. They did the top 10 stories of tech stories, and I'm just using that as a basis for our conversation. We've looked at social media revolution and the death of Mr. Jobs. They've got third Netflix. The subscribers are revolting in Netflix. This is more an American story than Canadian. Netflix is very strong in Canada. I think it's ironic that a company that is growing in subscribers and leaps and bounds is hanging on to viability by their fingernails because of the changing business model. Because as people stop renting CDs and DVDs from them, which they make a lot of money on, and start subscribing to $8 a month services, they get more subscribers and they make less money, and they're having trouble kind of making it all work out in Wall Street, and the street is being very cruel to Netflix, and the subscribers aren't happy because, especially in the States where they've got limited offerings. But I know, Lindsay, you use Netflix, do you not?
I've tried it. I unsubscribed.
You went to Apple TV. Oh, you did unsubscribe.
Yeah. I did. Okay. I did. Only because they didn't have enough content for me at the time, but I love the Hollywood blockbuster, so it depends on which stage I'm at. If I'm in a place where I can have afford the time to watch a lot of the golden oldies too, great. But those are the ones that kind of get ripped off my list first, and the Hollywood blockbusters come priority.
Well, Netflix had that problem. When they came to Canada, everybody went, oh, great, Netflix. But it's like all the other services. Like, we don't even get Hulu, but and a lot of the music services. The offerings are always limited in Canada, and that's what Netflix. I saw a lot of people sign up for Netflix when it first started. It is cheap. I mean, it's
$8 a month.
Yeah, less than going to the now fast disappearing, if there are any more, video store and renting a couple of movies.
Yeah.
You could have unlimited movies in a month. But the problem is, you got to say, are these movies I want to watch?
But here's what Netflix did for me, and it's not so much about Netflix. It's about the concept of movies anytime, anywhere on my device. If I'm watching the hockey game and the kids want to watch a Disney movie, they don't have to kick me off. They can watch it on their iPod Touch. And every kid in our family now has an iPod Touch.
Mm-hmm.
So with a Netflix subscription for those sorts of movies, they're entertained. They don't feel like they don't want to kick me off the TV. And worst case scenarios, I'd have to watch the hockey game on an iPad, which I don't want to do. I want to watch it on my big screen plasma. But so that's it. But it's really legitimized the concept, which is where Apple's going to be moving with Apple TV. I mean, the fact that you'll be watching it from one device to another device to another device, that does work.
Well,
and
right
it's
now,
very
yeah.
cool.
Right now, probably the best is a mix of you can get flat rate for very cheap, but then if you want more, you want the newer ones, you can go with Apple TV. You've Cinema Now from Best Buy and Future Shop now. So if you want to actually have the movie that just came out yesterday, you can get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're big on that. You're big on the Cinema Now and stuff, aren't you?
I haven't actually tried the Cinema Now, but I have the Apple TV, and it's decent.
Good.
I'm happy with it.
Fourth top story here is tech firms going public, and I think the marketplace has matured, so there's not quite as much hype on it. I guess the funniest one, the story that stands out to me is the Zynga story, where as if this company can't irritate me enough, for those of you who don't know, Zynga makes Farmville. They should be smacked very hard about the head and ears with a wet salamander for them making.
But they make so much money.
Well,
good for
investors
them.
Are giving
billions
them a smack
of dollars.
Up the side of the head. Yeah,
but here
yeah.
was the thing, and their stock is kind of flat since they launched. It hasn't been the blockbuster they hoped. But here's the thing: this company that has irritated me since day one with Gangster Land and Farmville and all these other apps that are just, they went to their employees. And they said, we gave you too many options when we hired you. And they clawed a whole bunch back so that they could float this IPO, which hasn't done that well. Yes. That's all I have to say about that.
Do you know what's
one.
Interesting is since that's happened, I've had several people come to me that have had similar situations happen to them with the businesses they've worked for.
That
this happens quite frequently. Isn't that terrible?
Unconscionable.
People just aren't talking. Yeah. You got to do some research into that one, Jillian.
You have to get those people to talk.
Well, because they're being threatened with their jobs.
Pretty much.
That's what they did
to
the Zynga employees.
Yeah.
And that's just wrong.
Yeah.
It's just wrong. And karma will out. Story number five is mobile phones, tablets continuing to grow. And I think continued, or this will be the year coming ahead of increased confusion around it, because you aren't going to know what phone you're using or what one you're buying. There's just every week there is a new Android phone being launched in some new form factor from one manufacturer or another. And the number of them is just becoming overwhelming. And then, of course, and Apple's still just chugging along with the iPhone.
I remember thinking this, though, 5 years ago when I was trying to figure out whether or not to keep my BlackBerry or move on to other devices out there. I think we always – it was very depressing because I walked into one of the big box stores and I just thought – I saw this, all these lines and lines of all this hardware, and I know how much time and energy it goes, these companies put into building these phones. And I'm just like, it's great because it creates jobs, but at the same time, it's just such a, it's a waste of all of this. I don't know. If we all just worked together on the same thing, you'd think that we would accomplish so much more and be able to, we're just duplicating is what I'm saying.
For 100 years, we all had the same phone.
Yeah.
Now we don't.
Well, Apple would like us all to have the same, but they're yes. working on that model.
Yeah.
Someone's just got to.
Yeah, they're staying with it. I think we'll just continue to see the Android growth. In the phone space, though, I guess the story that they don't talk about is the carrier IQ story, the story itself was probably a bit of a tempest in a pot of tea, the fact that there wasn't all that much data being captured by people. Carrier IQ was basically some code that was installed in phones, mainly in the States, that would allow them to track virtually everything you did on the phone. And they did it before any security measures were in place with your secure connection, say, to your bank, so that they could actually, there would be a log file, if it was enabled on your phone, that would actually track your passwords and your account numbers and that sort of stuff. Now, how that information was transmitted, there is an investigation going on in the States. I don't believe they're going to find anything nefarious going on, but it was just a bucket of cold water over all of our heads, knowing that this code could be on our phones and we'd know nothing about it. And it was a real wake-up call to privacy, I think.
Mm-hmm. Ultimately. Yeah, I think there are a lot of privacy issues that we're just running headlong into mobile computing, thinking, isn't this great? But there's a lot of people are just doing it's, you know, mobile computing for them translates into not secure computing. So and maybe we'll start to learn more.
Maybe that's where RIM will be able to come back, is being able to provide the back end technology, because we know that they're sinking in the mobile market. So
yeah, and security has always been their stock
their
and
thing.
Trade.
Yeah,
and even though the Carrier IQ story probably got a lot more press than it deserved on the amount of potential damage that it did, I think it was really a healthy time for it to come along to give us all a wake-up call on what's happening and to make us really severely question. The carriers have to be tremendously upset that this was all broken by a hacker who found the information and then published it in a YouTube video, and then within hours it had gone viral, and the furor that rose against them was I think well timed and well deserved. Moving on, the rise of the cloud. The cloud definitely, you know, Microsoft has been investing heavily in the cloud. And you didn't think that would be the first word out of my mouth when I talked about cloud computing, didn't you?
No, not at all.
But Microsoft has invested heavily in cloud computing, as we know, Apple and other mm-hmm. services. And now we're getting to the point that cloud is everything, except for you, Jillian.
Yeah, well, except that I lose my clouds, or I lose, you know, it's the, I think it's a virtual version of the messy desk. We get so many, I have this storage space and I have that cloud and my apps for work come off, you know, another service. And it's just, you know, it's just like we have the world of computing at our fingertips, but now we got to keep track of it.
It is absolutely a lot. I mean, that's why we kind of, there's a whole other can of worms that open up when we talk about the Facebook Connect, but I kind of like that is the concept of a single sign-on, just using one social media network in order to get in there. I'm wondering if Google Plus, their new social community, will start developing that as well. So it's just, what we'll see if that is taken care of in the next couple
of
years.
I'm finding it a bit overwhelming. I'm finding just using Dropbox and a few of the other services now that I am starting to lose. Even they're all designed for convenience, but because I spread myself, I want to know about them all, so I use more than one, I'm spreading myself a little bit too thin.
But you're doing it as a sacrifice for everybody else, Steve, because they're not all going to do that.
No, I'm doing it because I'm looking for the cheapest and easiest solution for me.
And then you'll just tell everybody else about it. It's great.
if I ever get my act together. But riding one horse here is always a good idea. So if you're in the Windows world, the Microsoft world, you know, it's a good idea to really have a good look at what they're doing with their Office Connect products and all of that sort of stuff, mm-hmm. in staying in that world. If you're in the Apple world, of course, iCloud is pretty much a no-brainer.
Yeah.
If you're not, you know, certainly the offerings that Google are putting forward in the Dropbox world is another good option. Now, I know you've done some stories on the mobile payment systems.
I have. There are a lot. And I think that that's going, I mean, it's another, you know, it's another one of those things where they always say next year is the year of it. But I think we really are finally reaching that point. I mean, we've reached it in lots of other parts of the world where we've been slower in North America with some of these. But the whole idea of not having to carry around a wallet, but just have your smartphone in your pocket and you can pay for anything from your cup of coffee to a can of pop out of a machine. I mean, certainly the technology's there. It's just a question of who wants to roll it out and use it.
Well, isn't it already being rolled out? I mean, I think we're talking about near-field communication technology, right? Mm-hmm. If that's there, the near-field communication and the idea that I know Google right now in the States, you literally can walk up to a poster outside a store and because of the near-field chip in the phone and the near-field chip in the... Is it a chip? It is a chip, but I don't know if it's called the near-field chip. I might be using the wrong lingo here. But anyway, the point is that the phone quickly speaks to the poster, and then it'll feed you coupons or deals or whatever it is. And that's being used in the States. It's been used in Asia for several years. And now they're finally saying in 2012, the smartphones are going to have it equipped. So as soon as we have that, we can pay by phone when we walk into...
Is it going to require that bump technology where you have to tap your phone against the terminal?
There's kind of the QR codes where you use that to get information. Yeah.
But I think that will actually replace QR barcodes.
Yeah, you think so?
I'm pretty sure about that.
And now you can go and you can buy your Starbucks coffee with just your phone, right? And I don't think it's totally seamless yet because you have to have a Starbucks card.
And we've got that parking in Vancouver, but you have to phone.
No, you have to phone. I think that's... the truly mobile is when it's like paying. And they have a lot of the banks. I think it's the Bank of Montreal. I have written about this, so I'd have to look at it. But where they do have that, where you can just tap it at the cash register.
Yeah, bump.
And pay. There's the...
MasterCard PayPass.
Yeah, PayPass.
But mind you, that's with your credit card. I don't think they have an app for that, do they?
They have it for the back of your phone now. So basically, it's taking the same technology and just putting it on your phone.
Now, when you say they have it for the back of the phone, are they doing it with a sticker or are they actually building that in?
In that one, they're varying ones. I think the one that we're talking about is actually something that's on your phone. It's just like having the card on the back of your phone or the same technology.
Magnet.
So essentially, it'll be just built into the phone.
Yeah, with Starbucks, it's actually your phone. It's not, you know, there's nothing on your phone. It's just so...
It's an app.
Just in it. Wow.
That's where we're going, and I'll be, for one, I will be very happy when we don't have to carry around a wallet and be pulling out credit cards or debit cards.
What are our men going to do when we don't have a purse for them to put all their junk in?
You will always have a purse for us.
You're going to have to carry a man purse.
Because as far as I know, makeup is not digital yet. And our cameras still take pictures of you, how you look now, and you still have to.
You'll be wearing glasses that we'll be able to remotely put. You know, you'll see us with
field distortion glasses. Yeah. I think it's ironic that we talk about the mobile payment this soon after we've talked about the Carrier IQ story, which raises all these alarm bells around security. And neither of you, you're all about the convenience, and neither of you have talked about the horror of that the security story is going to be around.
Ago, Steve.
We've moved on
to shopping with our phones.
We're going to move on to next year. We're going to wrap up this year. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about the top trends for next year. I'm Steve Dotto and you're tuned into Dotto Tech.